glad Dan did that, because if he wasn't going to, I was. So so it's wonderful to hear the blessings that the Lord just gives in our life. You know, I mean, the song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But if we were to really sit down and write down all the blessings that God has given us in our life, we'd run out of paper. You know, so, but it's good to be reminded of those blessings. It's good to be reminded that, you know what, sometimes we have bad days, but we oftentimes have more good than bad days. And just to be a reminder that God is still there, He still loves us, He still wants us to just be thankful and praise Him. And so tonight, I am going to be preaching about a man by the name of Joseph. And when most people hear Joseph, and especially when talking about integrity, the first person we think of is Joseph in Genesis. You know, that's the first person that we think of, because he was a great man of integrity. The things that he did, I mean, he kept his integrity. But through my devotions this last week, the Lord kind of showed me another man of great integrity. And I'm going to kind of surprise you a little bit, you know, because some people think that this man was just that guy, you know, tagging along with Mary as she was going to Bethlehem. And it was Joseph. Joseph of Nazareth. And he doesn't have a lot of Scripture that talks about Joseph. Really, just a couple of chapters, and that's it. Mainly in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. And that's pretty, in Luke chapter 2, that's pretty much all that Joseph is ever mentioned in the Bible. After Jesus is 12 years old, and they accidentally leave him at the temple because they had thought that he had went ahead with his family, that's the last time Joseph's ever mentioned. But as I was reading through the beginning of Matthew this last week, the Lord just kind of really impressed upon my heart, Joseph had some integrity. Joseph, I mean, the things that I began to just think about, I mean, try to put yourself in his shoes. And we're going to look at that tonight. You know, sometimes we look at, you know, we think of great men of faith. You know, I mean, the Sunday school is learning about Samson, you know, and the, you know, the great things that he was able to do with his strength. You know, we think of David and what he did against Goliath. You know, we think of Abraham and just his faithfulness to God, believing God's promises. But sometimes we don't really think of Joseph as a great man of faith because he didn't do some great miraculous event. And sometimes we look at Joseph and we think that he was just so ordinary. He was just simple. And sometimes we just quickly read, you know, past where he's mentioned the Bible and just get further in the Gospels. But though Joseph was not a well-known or a mighty man, he had something deep inside of him that is very admirable and several qualities that every man should strive for. He was a man of great character and integrity. And we're going to look at that here just a little bit. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verse 18 through 25. Verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get right into the message. Father, we thank you so much again just for the opportunity to be able to be in church tonight. Lord, to be able to hold your word in our hand. Father, to be able to learn about this man. And although he may not have done some mighty events that we would think that men of faith do, you know, he didn't stop the mouths of lions. He didn't do some of these things. But God, he had faith. And as we look at some of these characters and traits of faith that of Hebrews in 11, verse 33 and 34, Lord, he's mentioned. He is mentioned. And Father, I just pray, God, that you would use the Scripture tonight, Lord, that you would help us, especially as men that are here tonight, Lord, that we would look at him and maybe try to have some of his qualities in our life. And I just pray, Lord, that we'd all just see his faithfulness and how we can emulate it. And Lord, just to be able to have that. And I just pray that you just be with the message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing that we're going to look at is we're going to look at Joseph's background. Joseph was a man from the tribe of Judah, and he was a direct descendant of King David. The previous verses in Matthew talk about the genealogy of Jesus. In verse 1, you know, it starts saying that, you know, Jesus Christ was the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Matthew writes that he has the direct descendancy from Abraham all the way to Jesus Christ. And through that, he shows the direct line from David to Joseph. So Joseph was actually a direct descendant of King David. And so he also lived in the town of Nazareth in the district of Galilee. I was going to put a map up there, and I forgot, of where Nazareth was. Because sometimes we say places and we have, well, where's that at? If you know anywhere where Jerusalem is located, Nazareth is about 70 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And they had to go through the wilderness of Galilee. So that's where Joseph was. Joseph was actually, because of who he was and where he was, he fulfilled several of the prophecies about Jesus Christ. Joseph was a carpenter by trade with a good reputation. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. We'll come back here to Matthew chapter 1, so hold your place. So after Jesus goes and gets baptized and goes through the temptation in the wilderness, he goes home. And he wanted to be there at his home. I'm sure that was probably the most dearest on his heart, the people there. And so, as he was, he went to the synagogue, as his custom was. Every time that was the Lord's day, he began to take the Scripture and began to teach. And he located a certain Scripture in Isaiah. If you will, turn with me to, oh, it's not in this one, so actually if you just turn with me to verse 53. It says, And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Verse 55 says, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So Joseph has been off the scene. He's sometime between when Jesus was 12 years old at the temple until Jesus began his public ministry. Joseph had died. There's no, you know, we don't know when exactly Joseph died, but Joseph still had a good reputation. People still knew him as the carpenter there in Nazareth. So everybody knew who Joseph was, and he had a good reputation. He had a great reputation. Then an event happened in Joseph's life. He became espoused or engaged to Mary, and they were to be married. A Jewish engagement could not be broken except by death or divorce, and they were not allowed to have any kind of intimate relations until they were officially married. So now Joseph and Mary, they decide to, they're espoused, they're engaged, and pretty soon his life gets turned upside down by the Lord. We're going to look at here at Joseph's integrity and his faith. In Luke chapter 1, it kind of precedes the scripture here in Matthew chapter 1. And so what happens is that sometime soon after Joseph and Mary get engaged, Mary left to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child. Now Elizabeth was a woman who was, you know, well past her age of being able to bear children. And so for her to have a child was extraordinary. And so Mary went to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. And so she was there for 3 months visiting Elizabeth. After that time, Mary returns home and tells Joseph shortly about the pregnancy, that she was pregnant, and that she was told in what Gabriel the archangel had told her. So, honestly, let's kind of think of, put ourselves in Joseph's shoes here. You know, kind of think of, you know, maybe how it would be in today's society. You know, Mary leaves for 3 months. He doesn't see where she's at. All of a sudden, she comes back and she says, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." And it's because of the Holy Spirit. Now, it took a lot of faith to believe in Mary. I mean, you know, to actually believe that this is something that is true. But he also had to have a lot of trust to Mary as well. I mean, he trusted Mary when it was very easy to believe otherwise. I mean, there must have been a manner or maybe a humbleness that Mary had when she told Joseph, that just assured him that she was telling the truth. I mean, you know, here was the woman that he loved, and she comes back and she says, "I'm pregnant." I mean, that, to him, that probably just floored him. I mean, he had just, you know, this was going to be the happiest time of his life. He's going to marry the woman that he loved. And then now, all of a sudden, this happens. Joseph, if we look here in verse number 19, says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You see, Joseph, after Mary told him about what had happened, he began to think about what could happen to Mary. What could happen to her if people started to find out that she was with child and it wasn't Joseph's? Back then, Jewish law was that if anybody committed adultery, they were to be killed. They were to be stoned, especially those who were engaged. And so Joseph began to think about Mary. He didn't want to make her a public example. He had every right, though, as a man, as her husband, because in society's eyes, she did wrong. But they didn't understand what the whole story was. And so Joseph decides, you know what? I don't want anything happening to Mary. I don't want her to get stoned. I don't want her to get killed. So he's trying to think of a way of sparing her life. And so he comes up with a plan. You know what? I'm going to put her away privately. I'm going to divorce her secretly. And that way, you know, she can go on with her life, and you know, she won't be slain. But Joseph, even though he had a great, you know, desire to be there for Mary and to help her, and so that she wouldn't get slain, the Lord intervened and chose Joseph a completely different option. I don't think Joseph really thought that, you know, actually staying with Mary was an option. I mean, maybe there was something that said, you know what, there's going to be a lot of public shame. You know, people are going to think that we did wrong, that we handled our relationship wrong. There's going to be, there might have been a lot of public shame, but he said, you know what, I don't know what to do. And so he thinks he has the best option. Oftentimes in our life, we do the same thing. You know, we see the different circumstances that are in our life, and we say, you know what, I think I'm going to do this, or I think I'm going to do that. And God says, no, why don't you try this option? And oftentimes it's one that we don't have any idea about. And that's why it's so important to read the Bible, to pray, because that's where we get our guidance from. And so here, Joseph, he doesn't know what to do. And so he says, you know what, I think this is the great idea that I'm going to have, and so I'm going to go through it. And then the Lord intervenes. So as he was thinking and planning about this, the Bible says that God caused him to have a dream, kind of like a daydream, I guess, in a sense, or something along those lines, because he had just made the decision that he was going to put Mary away. And all of a sudden, he has the daydream. And the angel Lord told Joseph all about the baby in Mary's womb, and that God still wanted Joseph to take her as his wife. He still wanted Joseph in Mary's life. He still wanted Joseph to be a part of Jesus' life as well. So Joseph awoke, and he did exactly as God says. I mean, that takes faith. I mean, honestly, how many of you have had some pretty wacky dreams? You know, whether it's the bad pizza that you ate, you know, things like that. I mean, honestly, he has a dream, and God tells him in his dream, you know, the child that's in her womb is from the Holy Ghost. And I want you to call his name Jesus, and I want you to marry her. He believed God. He believed God immediately. He didn't doubt. He didn't say, well, did I really dream that? Was that really God speaking? He took that without any doubt, and he said, you know what? If that's what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Joseph did not break off their marriage, and he made sure that they had no kind of intimate relations until after Jesus was born. Joseph obeyed without question or complaint. And again, you got to look at this man. He chose to ignore what the people were going to say. I mean, I'm sure people, when Mary and Joseph, when they walked around town, people probably looked at them like, you know, oh, they broke the rules. And they didn't know what was going on, but they assumed. And I'm sure Joseph and Mary had to deal with that scorn, that maybe that shame, that are being shunned by those that their neighbors, the people that they loved. But both he and Mary drew comfort from each other as they believed in what God promised to them and the future of the child within Mary. They took comfort from themselves. They knew what was in Mary's womb. Even though the world around them probably mocked them, scorned them, shunned them, they drew comfort from with each other and said, you know what? This child that's going to be born is going to do some great things. It is God in the flesh. He's going to save our people from their sin. He's going to become the next, he's going to be the king. Joseph realized the great task and responsibility that God had given them in raising God's son as his own. Joseph's example. Just want to see a couple of examples that Joseph has. First of all, as a man. Joseph was a hard worker. He eventually had his own trade and a well-known reputation. He did things honestly. People knew who Joseph was. They knew that he had integrity. They knew that he was honest. They knew that, you know, they didn't have to barter with him to try to wheel him down, you know, to get a better deal. They knew that the things that they got from him were of good quality and that he put his heart into those things. So he was a hard worker. He was faithful to church at every opportunity. He made sure that he was in the synagogue. He made sure that his family was there. He protected, provided, and loved the family that God gave him. I think that is probably the three biggest responsibilities of a man, especially one who is married, or even one who has children that they're supposed to take care of. You know, we are supposed to protect our loved ones. We're supposed to be there to protect them from the world, to make sure that they grow up as God wants them to grow up. We're supposed to be, just as a pastor has to be spiritually aware of wolves coming in and people trying to hurt the flock. He, as a father, as a husband, has to look at the world and say, you know what, I gotta protect my child. I gotta protect my wife. I gotta protect my family because the world wants to destroy them. Satan wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy anything that would give you joy. And if he can make you miserable by getting a hold of your family, he will do it. Oftentimes, a pastor, Satan attacks a pastor's family first, because he knows that if he can get to the family, he can get to the pastor. See, oftentimes a pastor has to guard not only just his own heart, but he has to be on guard for his family, because the devil will do whatever he can. Because if he knows that the pastor goes down, the church will go down. And so he has to be careful. But a man should also provide for his family. He should be out there trying to make sure that, you know, that they're taken care of, that they have food, that they have shelter, that they have the basic necessities. Yes, we need to rely upon God, but we need to also do our best. I mean, the Bible says that a man, you know, if he doesn't go out to, you know, I'm paraphrasing, if he won't work to feed his family, he's worse than an infidel. You know, the Bible says a man should work. A man should do something. You know, he shouldn't just be sitting around the house twiddling his thumbs, bored, you know, playing games and just wondering, well, what am I going to do today? You know, there should be some kind of desire in a man's life to do something, to somehow provide for his family. And lastly, he loved his family. He loved Mary. He loved Jesus. He loved his other children. And that is also what a man should do. It's not wrong to express emotion. You know, sometimes society says that it's weakness for a man to cry. It's weakness for a man to show emotion. That's the generation that my father was raised on. You know, my grandfather rarely ever told my dad that he loved him. Never. And so my dad, they didn't have a good relationship. My dad left home when he was 12 years old. And so they never had a good relationship. And so my dad carried that baggage into him being a father. And so I can tell you from experience, I can maybe count on my hand, you know, before my dad got saved, I could probably count on my hand how many times my dad told me he loved me. You know, and a child should not have to face that. a child should be told that they're loved. That, you know, because they get their security from their father. And so a child should know that their father loves them. It's not weakness. If anything, it's real strength. Secondly, Joseph's example as a husband. Even after they were officially wedded, he honored Mary until after Jesus was born. He honored his wife and put her above his own personal desires and wants. He was always there. He was always there for Mary whenever she needed him. Okay, I'm missing one. Sorry. He showed, when Jesus was born, he showed Jesus what love was like between a man and a woman. I mean, you know, we read the scriptures about, you know, Christ's love for us. He got to see a real living example of how Joseph loved Mary. He loved her. He put her first. He adored her. He was always there for her. And so Jesus got to, yes, he's God in the flesh, but he got to see that in action. He got to see a man loving his wife just like he loves us. He protected her as they made the 70-mile trip from Nazareth on foot through the rugged wilderness to Bethlehem. That wasn't the only time, because he also was with her when they went from Bethlehem to Egypt when Jesus' life was in danger. He did whatever it took to find a place for Mary when it was time for Jesus to be born, even finding a lowly stable when nothing else was available. I mean, he took it upon himself to make sure that Mary at least had some kind of shelter when Jesus was making his appearance. He made sure that Mary was taken care of. I mean, I'm sure he wished that he could have found an inn, but it was something. It was better than just being out in the street. And he tried his best to take care of them. He loved Mary with all of his heart. He stayed faithful to her no matter what shame came with people's assumptions, even after Jesus was born. As a father, Joseph loved Jesus as if he was his own son. He loved Jesus even though he was not his own. He wasn't his own. He loved Jesus as his own son. I mean, that's a special love that it takes for a man to love another person's child. It takes a special love because it's easy to love your own. But to love another person's child, that takes immense, integrity. And, you know, the world today looks at children as just, sometimes it's just as a consequence for their sin. You know, I mean, people are trying to, you know, we live in the abortion age. Mankind has always tried to get rid of children, in a sense. You know, they look at their children and say, you know what, I don't want them. It could have been very easy for Joseph to say, you know what, I don't want this situation. He's not mine. I have other children. And he could have favored his other children over Jesus. He never did that. He always favored Jesus as his own son. I mean, they lived during their time of the Roman Empire. It was a custom of the Roman Empire that if a child was born, they would sit and put that child in front of the father. It was called it was a different Latin word for it, but basically it was the power of the father. The father, if he wanted that child, he would then go to it and pick it up. But if he did not want the child, he would do nothing. And that child was disowned and was either killed or was thrown out in the street. So the world has always been trying to get rid of things that they don't want. Joseph chose to be Jesus' father. He chose to love him. He chose to be there for him. He taught Jesus all that he knew as a carpenter. He taught Jesus how to work. I mean, he was the Son of God. They knew that he was the Son of God. They could have just said, you know what, Jesus, you can do whatever you want. You're God. You know, you can just sit on the couch there and loaf around and do whatever you want. But they said, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to work. And so Joseph taught him all that he knew about being a carpenter. Being a carpenter is hard work. It is very hard work. I mean, you know, a carpenter's hands aren't soft and tender. They're often calloused because working that wood, using those tools, is very hard work. I mean, he didn't have the electric saws that they have now today. And, you know, even still, it's hard work. But I'm saying, back then, they just had the hand tools. And he taught Jesus how to work hard. You know, I think that's maybe one of the reasons why Peter and Andrew and James and John said, you know what, this man is worth following. Not only because he's the Lamb of God, but because he knows how to work. You know, he doesn't take things for granted. He wanted to make sure that Jesus understood how rewarding it is to put in a good day of work. He wanted Jesus to understand the fatigue that comes in when you work all day and you can lay your head on your pillow at night and just have that sweet sleep, that you did something with your life that day, that you made a difference. You know, even though sometimes I know work can be kind of a grind, but at least you did something today. He wanted to make sure Jesus understood that. He also made sure that his family was spiritually growing and that they knew God's Word. Joseph knew, according to Leviticus, that it was his responsibility to make sure his children knew the Word of God. He made sure that Jesus, even though he was the Word, he wanted to make sure that Jesus knew God's Word, and that he was faithful to church every opportunity. I mean, as we read later in Luke, Joseph made sure his family was at church. He made sure they were at Jerusalem for the Passover every single year. And he taught his family the importance of the day and the feast and all about the preciousness of the sacrificial lamb. You know, when they were at the temple in Jerusalem, as he told his son Jesus all about Passover, he had no idea what was going to happen later in Jesus' life on that exact feast week. He had no idea that Jesus would be crucified, that he was the sacrificial lamb. He had no idea. But yet he made sure that Jesus was at the Passover feast every single year. He made sure that his family knew God. Application. Joseph was not a man of great means financially or of social position. Yet God decided that he wanted Joseph to be a great part of raising Jesus. He wanted Joseph to be the earthly father figure and physical presence in his life. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, he wanted Joseph in Jesus' life. I mean, to me, that's just amazing that, you know, there's got to be something more to Joseph than just what we read in Scripture. Because God wanted to make sure Joseph was a part of Jesus' life. Joseph obeyed God every single time. Every time that God told him to do something, he did it. You know, when he gave that dream to Jesus, or to Joseph, Joseph said, okay. A couple years later, God gives him another dream and saying, you need to get out of Bethlehem because Herod's coming, he's going to kill Jesus. And he obeyed and left that night. He didn't wait around and say, you know what, but I've got to sell the house. You know, I've got to find things to do. You know, it's not the right timing. You know, I've got projects that have to be finished. No, he said, God said, get out of town, go to Egypt. His life is in danger. And Joseph obeyed. He left. He didn't care about what it cost him, because he knew that the life of his son was the most important. He knew that Jesus was the most important thing in his life. It was more important than his house, his donkey, anything else. It was more important than anything else. And so he left upon hearing God's word. He believed God, no matter what the outcome was. I mean, you know, I really think that when the wise men came to Bethlehem, God was providing for their flight to Egypt. He was providing their means, because Joseph was not a wealthy man. Yes, he tried his best, but he was not a wealthy man. And so it probably used all of that just to get down to Egypt to live there for a couple years. And so he believed God no matter what the outcome was. Oftentimes, God will guide our steps if we seek His directions. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 are great verses to memorize. And I would challenge you to memorize those. You know, our feelings are not an accurate measure of the rightness or wrongness of an action. Sometimes we try to base our decisions upon what we feel. You know, how we feel about a situation. Do I feel like this is a good decision, or do I feel like this is a bad decision? Oftentimes we make decisions and it's the worst thing that we can do, because we never consult God. You know, He's always the last option sometimes in our life. You know, rather than being the first option, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Oftentimes, like Joseph, we are trying to figure out, okay, if I do this, this will happen. If I do that, this will happen. And so oftentimes we try to rationalize our situations and our problems, and we put God in the back burner. And oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because we try to do what we think is best, rather than relying upon the Lord and asking God, what would you have me do? What do you recommend in this situation? What does your word say that I should do? And that's what Joseph did. He relied upon God's word after that initial decision that he tried to do. Joseph had integrity and always did what was right. He made sure that he did the right thing. He was a model husband that loved and took care of Mary. I mean, he took care of Mary. I mean, he did his best. He made sure that he tried to do his best to provide for her and provide for their family. He was a model father in raising Jesus. He made sure that Jesus knew how to work hard. He made sure that Jesus knew God's word. And he made sure that his family knew the importance of going to church. You see, Joseph, in our eyes, in the world's eyes, he was just an average person. But he had great character. You know, sometimes we have a bad knack of judging people from maybe their standing in life, maybe for what they have or what they don't have. Joseph was just an average person. I mean, you'd probably call him an average Joe. You know? He wasn't somebody spectacular. He wasn't a wealthy merchant. He wasn't a king. Yet God said, you know what? I want you to be a part of my son's life. I want you to teach my son. I want you to love my son. He had an opportunity, though he was just a regular person, to be an instrumental part in Jesus' life. He still had his flaws, but he was a great man of God who raised his family the right way. You know, he didn't do any miracles, but he dedicated his life to taking care of his family and investing in them rather than the prestige, riches, and personal desires that he could have had. You know, the world says, you know, you have to have thus, thus, and thus in order to be successful. He said, you know what? No, I've got what makes me wealthy. I have my family. And he just did his best to be there for his family, no matter what. And to me, I look at this man and say, you know what? He's someone I want to be like. Because he had integrity. He loved his family. He took care of them. And he raised Jesus with the wanting Jesus to understand what it meant to be a man, to work hard, to know God, to be faithful to God. That's some great things. You know, he may not have defeated armies. He may not have, you know, withstood great enemies, but he was faithful in everything that he did. And we, in our memory verse, Hebrews 11:34 says he escaped the edge of the sword because of his faith. I think you're pointing at Joseph at that one, because Joseph believed God when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Had Joseph stayed, who knows what would have happened to Jesus? I'm sure God would have protected him somehow. But because of Joseph's faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. I think he's one of those people that are mentioned in those verses of people of great faith. And so let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer.